You know, and so what a blessing it is here to be here today. And as you know, I'm a traditionalist, so you're gonna hear on Mother's Day. You know, I have to preach about mothers and about Mother's Day. And you know, each one of us here will probably say, I have the best mother. I had the best mother, or I have the best wife that's the mother to my children. And we all know our mothers. They're all different. They all have different personalities, but they have that love that comes from God, and they have that compassion. I would say, you know, I'm a loving father. I'm a loving grandpa, snazpa, but a mother's love, I think, is the closest thing to God's love to us. You know, a mother's love, a mother has when the kids are sick, when anything that's going on, they have that strong compassion. They have that strong compassion. And we are blessed with so many wonderful mothers here today. So since I said everybody thinks they have the best mother, you know, I had a great mother. I had a great mother-in-law, wonderful grandmas, wonderful grandmother-in-law. But, you know, the best mom that I'm going to say today is the mom to my children. She's going to be like, don't call me out. But, you know, Becky has been a blessing, you know, here. And every day, you know, she has that compassion. She has that love. She has that forgiveness. And I'll tell you this morning, I mean, I have to ask for forgiveness all the time because, you know, this morning, here I am. She made a spiral ham. And she made so she got up early to get figured out how long it needed to cook there at home and then here, and made potatoes. And I said, I'll bring the ham in a little bit. And so I just had this crock pot in my hand, and I'm talking to Neva, and I go to open the door downstairs, and the crock pot slips and crashes and splinters, and the ham is on the ground. And I love ham. You know, I'm like, that's even the worst thing. I love ham. So I bring it in. Dylan helped me clean up the crock pot part, and I put the ham in the carrier part and brought it in. And a man's thought is, I love ham. Can't we just wash it off? And then wash it really good, and it'll be okay. And Becky's like, the trash. So you'll be happy to know the ham went in the trash. But, you know, and she was there. I mean, I saw a little disappointment on her face, of course. You know, you would be disappointed. But, you know, I was only carrying one thing. I'm known to, when we get groceries, I pack my arms so full so I don't have to do more than one trip in there. And then I've dropped a jar of pickles. I've dropped different things. So over the years, we've been married 41 years. We dated about 2.5 years before that. And where I'm getting at in this is, you know, she went to the East Local. I went to church here. You know, we grew up in our faith. And we were down at college that first year. And I can't remember what I said was my favorite scripture, but she told me her favorite scripture. And I will remember this always, and I will say, but it's 1 Corinthians 13. And so I'd like everybody to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm not saying she's the best because I broke the crock pot and the ham, but she is the best. Okay, and I'm going to start with verse 1. No one likes to hear their own voice. So, I get there. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 1, and it says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And, you know, that love, love of Christ that each mother bestows, that gives that nurturing, that love, that is so important in raising our children. I think I'll go ahead and we have something for all the ladies in the church. You know, our mothers, we're honoring them today, but we're honoring all ladies that are here, you know, that maybe they don't have children, but they have helped raise our children. They have helped and are so important to the growth and the love that is here. So these are single red roses, and a single red rose promises lifelong devotion and love. A red rose speaks of a love that is unchanging and does not wither away. You know, added to the wonderfulness of my wife is I had this idea. She goes with whatever flow I have and helps me out. And so I bought roses, and then we ordered the sleeve. We ordered the little tube to put them in. And so she's a rose dethorner too. So we had to dethorn these roses so that you wouldn't get pricked with these roses. But what the beauty of these roses are. How beautiful. You look at that rose. Every rose is different. Every mother is different. You know, each of the women here are blessed with different ways that they can show the love of God, and it's so important. Now, I'm going to turn to Romans 12, and I'm going to start with verse 9. Okay, verse 9 of Romans 12, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, you know, and serving the Lord, that's important. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, and that is the, you know, all through there is love. Abhor evil. You know, those things that our mother is going to teach us. You know, to do the right things, follow God's commandments. You know, and that verse 18, which says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard if somebody's doing something wrong. It's hard to get past that. But we must. We must live with the love of God in our hearts. We're going to turn to Proverbs 31. Okay, and I'm going to start with the 10th verse, Proverbs 31. And this is attributes of, you know, on Mother's Day, if I ever preach on Mother's Day, it was funny, I had this day left, and I thought, how's my health going to be? I'll put myself slated in, and I'll just pick that date. And then I went, it's Mother's Day, the perfect day. Perfect day to preach. And so I want to start with 10, and it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You know, she takes care of us. She takes care of her husband and her family. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. You know, they are always thinking of their family and that love, that unselfishness that comes from God. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened up her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, when you think of a mother, do you think of kindness? Do you think of that love? She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, 30 said, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, and we have faith in God. You know, we have that hope and that charity that we talked about. But, we feareth the Lord, but we have that trust in him. Know those that everything comes from him and that we must have that faith. And my faith has been, we'll say it's been tested, but it has been tested. You know, I've been through this trial, my health issues, and I'll tell you, Becky has supported me so much through this, and all the prayers of the ladies here, the prayers of the men, you know, and I have been blessed. And Lindsay made me a shirt that said, faith over fear, and it says, Snazpaw strong. And I'll wear that most Fridays to work. And I figure even when I'm not testifying of that faith I have, people see it in the bright green letters and they know. It makes everybody's mind spark. Okay, he's been blessed. There's another teacher that said, I need that faith today because I'm going through, you know. And so we all go through different things in life, and we have to have that faith. And it says in the Bible that if you have that faith, he will bless you. You know, so I have that strength. I have that strength. I'm back to the Proverbs, what I just read. It's, you know, this beauty is true with all our mothers. You know, we are blessed to have so many wonderful mothers and all the different ladies in the church, all the different women that show us how we should be, you know, by that example. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And you know, even in my, you know, this 6 months that has been going on, you know, it's, you try to, like, rationalize. You want to protect yourself of, okay, if there's bad news, if this is, you know. But we must have that faith and trust in God. We must have that faith that he will bless us. And I'll tell you, he has blessed me so. Blessed me so through this whole journey. And I thank you for those prayers. Colossians, let's turn to Colossians 3. Okay, Colossians 3, and I'm going to start with 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Is that our hope? I know that's our hope. And then here it is, you know, you can think, these mothers are going to say, don't do this, but do this. You know, so the next thing is, mortify therefore your members which are upon this earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And then here's how we should be. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And there it is, live peaceably. You know, forgive one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. You know, let's thank our God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. And then the next one. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. You know, it's for all of us. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, we want to encourage, not discourage. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Christ. You know, so there we are. You know, what a wonderful passage. How we should be, you know, how we should be, you know, and it talks to the wives, it talks to the husbands. You know, when you first read wives, yeah, you do this, but no, husbands, love your wives. You know, so important, so important. Okay, let's turn to Alma 26, and it's on page 518. And this is a story. I'm just going to read a couple. I'm going to read 96, and then I'm skip down and read 101. So this is on page 518, Alma 26. And this talks about Helaman and his 2,000 stripling soldiers. You know, it tells how they gained strength and faith from the teachings of their mothers. You know, their mothers had taught them to put on the whole armor of God, and to doubt not, and to put their trust in the Lord. You know, and so on 96, it says, yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them, and I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them. And then 101 says, nevertheless, according to the goodness of God and to our great astonishment, and also the joy of our whole army, there was not one soul of them which did perish. Some, you know, some were hurt, no one perished. It says, yea, and neither was there one soul among them which had not received many wounds. So they were blessed. They were blessed. And their mothers taught them that faith, and the Lord blessed them. 2,000 soldiers there. And it said, mothers had taught them, put on that whole armor of God, which we know the armor of God is in Ephesians 6. Let's turn to that, Ephesians 6. And I'm going to start with 10. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You know, we have in our scriptures, we need to strengthen ourselves by knowing our scriptures, coming to church, listening to the word of God. And then it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, we pray, the power of prayer, and it's amazing, power of prayer. And you know, I'm going to keep talking about my health because I'm just so blessed. And it's been the power of prayer and the power of, you know, our ladies in the church, our mothers, ladies in the church, the strength they have given me with their prayers. You know, they'll reach out. I know the men are praying too, but the ladies in the church will reach out to me, send me cards. They will ask me, "How are you doing? We're praying for you." You know, our sister Jerry was in the back there and said, "I'm praying for you," you know, and that smile. And everybody knows the blessings that have come and how it strengthens me to get through this. You know, I'm going to talk about grandmas now. You know, I had two wonderful grandmas. I had a wonderful grandma-in-law. You know, we all know our sister Gladys Nass. When I was dating Becky, her parents had moved to Texas, and so her grandma moved into her house. And so I got to see Grandma Nass and her faith and her testimonies. And she was so kind, but she also had that zeal and that excitement to let you know how you should do, what you should do. But she did it with a love. And she was the best, my only grandma-in-law, but she was the best. She was the best. And then I had two wonderful grandmas that different. Each grandma is there. Each person is different. You know, I had one that was a little more stern, and one that was from the country and was just really nurturing. You know, the stern one was nurturing too in her way. And, you know, we had special things. I had my grandma Red lived next door. She went to school through the eighth grade, and so she developed a college fund for me because she wanted me to succeed and to be able to go. She was born in 1900, and so she had that love for me. But I would go over there, and not that I loved Lawrence Welk, but I would sit, watch Lawrence Welk with my grandma. And then she would have these little crocks, these old crocks, and they were different colors, and it had Jell-O in it, sometimes bananas in it. And we'd get to go into the refrigerator and pick out the one we wanted, you know, and then we'd sit there and we would eat it. So she had that love. She had that way. I'll throw in my grandpa there. I didn't really like this either, but we watched All-Star Wrestling. And he sat there and you could tell he believed it was happening. And I was a little kid going, "Oh, this can't be right. This is fake," you know. But here it was, you know. So we remember these things in life and how wonderful, you know. You know, and you can think back to your grandmas. You can think back to your mom, you know, everything that, and then I had this little grandma on the farm. She was little. She was, I think, 4'10". But I remember her always, she wanted to be 5 foot. So she would always stretch. And she'd say, I'm 5 foot. You know, and here she was. And she made us what was called fluff. And so she was a great pie baker. But with our family, my sister didn't like crust. Another cousin didn't like meringue. And so what she did on ours was she made what she called fluff. And she would fold the meringue into the filling of the pie. And you had this fluffy pudding that was awesome. It was awesome. And I'm going to talk a little more on her. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, she was this little, you know, you think the love you have for your children and how you want to protect them. And when my uncle, which he was the second boy, and then they had two girls, my uncle, we all know, you've probably heard the story that he was a prisoner of war. And he was a young man, got drafted, you know, he was probably 18, I don't know how old he was. And he was in the Korean War, and he was captured. And he was captured, and it wasn't, she had that faith. She had that faith that she wore out her knees for 2.5 years. I think it was 2 to 3 years in here, that she prayed and prayed, and he was brought home. You know, he was in this prisoner of war camp. She had taught him and my grandpa from the start. So he had that faith. Here he was in this as a prisoner of war, and they weren't nice to him, you know, of course. But he made it home safely. And then he lived to be almost 90 and was a minister in the church here. And he praised our God. You know, he testified of the blessings that he received. But my grandma, that importance of prayer, how important, you know, I think of my children, if anything, grandchildren, you know, you think of how heart-wrenching it would be to not know, but just having that faith. And she had that strength. She had that faith. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to start with 17, and it says, or I'm going to start with 16. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. You know, and here's my grandma that we hear that story, and she prayed without ceasing. And I know Grandma Ness prayed without ceasing, and I'm sure my grandma Red prayed without ceasing for her family, for all those, you know, of the church. I know the ladies here, our mothers and the ladies of the church, pray without ceasing for me. And what a blessing. And I'm going to testify forever for these blessings that I have received. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. You know, and power of prayer. You know, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, he wants those requests. He wants us to seek him. You know, he is going to bless us. He's going to be with us. But he wants us to seek him. You know, he taught the believers in Colossae to devote themselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And in Colossians 4:2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, life becomes a continually ascending prayer. You know, we must have that open communication with our God and ready to lift those up. I'll tell you, I testified of it Sunday, but one of my coworkers, you know, I went down because I was having this test that I'm going to get the result of for a bone marrow transplant on Thursday. You know, and I went to her, and I just wanted to let her know, pray for me at 1:30 today. And she said, I will. And then she says, oh. And she pulled me into a room, you know, and there were six different ladies in there. And she said, we are going to pray for David now. And one of the ladies, and she spoke Spanish, gave the most beautiful prayer. But later I had said to her, she said, I said, thank you for doing that. That meant so much to me. And she said, you know, so many times we want to pray for everybody. But then, you know, here we were, it was the first of school, you know, and then the kids come and things get chaotic. And, you know, so at 1:30, would she remember, you know? And she said, so we need to do it now. So you think of that. When you hear a need, you see a need on a prayer list, we need to pray then. And then pray at 1:30 if you remember. But, you know, how important it is that we take action, that we do what we need to do. You know, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. We need to exercise faith when we seek God in prayer. We have to have faith. We have to, if we're seeking him in prayer, we need to have that thought that he is going to bless us. You know, we can't just say a empty prayer, you know. We must have that faith, show that faith. You know, the prayers of the saints are so important in our lives. Psalm 5:2-3 says, hearken unto my voice, the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You know, every day do we ask the Lord to be with us. You know, we pray the first thing and we say, guide us in our day. You know, if we do and he's there, we're going to think about him and think and do the right thing. You know, Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. You know, he wants all of our heart. He wants us to seek him. Mark 11:22-24 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You know, so we must believe. You know, I won't read my favorite scripture. You know, back in when Becky told me her favorite scripture, and I don't know what mine was. Now mine is in Mosiah 2, and I won't. But it's believing in God. You know, and then it says, believe in God, believe all the way through. And then it says, and see that you do them, you know, and what, how important it is. We need to believe. We need to have faith. We need to seek him. Let's turn to page 651. And this is 3 Nephi 8 on page 651. And I'm going to start with verse 47. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude, saith unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and ye shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. You know, hold up the light of God. You know, and I think every week I tell you, you know, when we're in the world, shine the light of God, you know, testify of his goodness, but give that smile, just a smile, hold the door open, you know, behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which you have seen me do. Behold, ye have seen that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye have witnessed, and ye shall see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that you should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. You know, so important. Let's turn over to page 222. So on page 222, Alma 16. Alma 16, it's, I'm going 219 through 222. It's not on that, so. So Alma 16 on page 429. Alma 16, page 429. I'm going to start with 219. This is on prayer. It says, yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, and in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. You know, in these verses, you know, it shows that he wants us to pray continuously. You know, praying without ceasing, you know, it means there is a spirit of dependence that should permeate all we do. You know, dependence on God. You know, we must pray often. We must not give up on prayer. You know, he's going to bless us in different ways. Sometimes it's not the answer we want at that time, but he's going to bless us, and we continue to pray, and we continue to seek him. And most importantly, we need to pray with a humble heart. Humbling ourselves to God. You know, we must seek our God in humbleness, knowing of his greatness. You know, prayer is so important. You know, we strengthen each other when we seek and ask God for blessings. And I know that. And I know that. And I know each one of us, you know how important that is. Thank you again, all mothers, all fathers, everybody in the church for your prayers. You know, it has strengthened me. I'm back to normal now. You know, I feel good. I have my energy back. And he blessed me all the way through for all these months with no sickness. No sickness and just with a low blood count, made me a little tired towards the very end after they had zapped me so many times. But I'm back, and people will say different ones. Sherry today said, your color is back. And I'm thinking, oh, was my color gone? I hope not. I thought I looked good, you know. But now I know, you know, it is. I have that strength. I know I feel like normal. You know, I am blessed. You know, I normally read a poem by Helen Snyder Rice, and how we do it, I'm just going to refer to a couple of stanzas in this poem. But Helen Snyder Rice, I looked her up because my father-in-law used poems by her. She was a Christian poet, and she was touched by God in so many ways to give us these poems. But I looked her up. Said, was she a mother? And she was a mother, you know. She was a mother, and she was born in 1900, and I think she lived to be 81. She was married and had a child. And she had a poem, A Mother's Love, and I'm just going to read two stanzas, refer to a couple stanzas. It says, a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. And we know they have that love for us. They have that love for us. And not they want pain, but they want what's best for their children. And they want what's best for each one. It says, it is endless and unselfish. And there it is, unselfish. We have, you know, selflessness, you know, thinking of others. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. You know, we know, and we praise our mothers this day for, we praise God for our mothers and for the blessings that he has given us. I have two scriptures, and I thought I was going to be short. I'm sorry, but I'm going to end right on time. And so I'm going to turn to Philippians 4. Yeah, I told Cody last night, I said, I think I'm going to be short today. And he said, well, you better tell the kitchen committee. So I ran down there and I said, it might be like 40 minutes, but I could be short. And so now they're ready for us. So, okay, so Philippians 4, 4 through 9, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And then my last scripture is in the Book of Mormon, page 768. And it's verses 50 through, it's Moroni 7, verses 50 through 53. It says, "And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, confesses of the power of the Holy Ghost, that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, charity, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye might be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen." And, you know, at the first of the sermon, I did not greet all those that are online, but I greet all the mothers, everybody, and especially the mothers that are online. You know, I have had prayers from a sister in Collins that asked me all the time, "How are you doing?" And praises the Lord. And and I know that everybody in the church has been praying for me. I'm praying for you. You know, we all have needs. And, you know, my needs are not any more important than everybody's here. But we must pray. And the power of prayer, and I think I'll single out mothers. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your excitement and joy in praising the Lord for the things and blessings that we have. So thank you very much. Happy Mother's Day.